I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast with Courtney Smith. We all have a story, and I believe by telling these stories, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey. This season, I've teamed up with L'Oreal Professional Paris. You probably know that I'm a big fan of good hair, and the Steampod 3.0 with patented steam technology is the go-to hairstyler for pros. The best thing is, whether you feel like creating natural-looking waves or you want to go straight and sleek, the Steampod can do both. The 3.0 is now thinner and lighter for improved comfort when styling. It has an integrated water tank for steam, a continuous steam flow and heat control for less damaging styling. Available in L'Oreal Professional partner salons nationwide. Welcome. Today I am chatting to Courtney Smith. I was editing this podcast the other day and I said to Jamie, I love this episode so much. Courtney Smith is a fashion stylist and creative director and created Closet Confidential during COVID. So Closet Confidential was a huge hit where Courtney spoke to high profile people about their wardrobes, and thousands of people would tune in to this online show that Courtney created. She is also a true soul sister. She lives steps from the sea with her beautiful family. And last week we decided that I would drive out for a 6 a.m. swim. Courtney says she always dips her head under the water. That is the key. And I told her that I have always been way too scared to ever do it. So I'm so excited for you to hear what happened on our swim. We also speak about Courtney's home, her career, and her best friend, Darren Lacken. Darren passed away suddenly in November, and Courtney was left without the yin to her yang. We speak about signs today, and Courtney is a big believer in them. And when you hear about her experience and asking for one, you'll know why. I always speak about Googling the meaning of animals or things that cross my path. And this week, I have seen four black feathers. I can't even remember the last time that I saw one before this week. One was right beside my car after my swim with Courtney. So, of course, I Googled it and I found out that black feathers are a sign of protection, and they're a really good sign. So if you do see something a little unusual this week, why not look into what it could mean? Before we get into this podcast, we have finally launched our first ever Good Glow retreat. We've wanted to hold this retreat for a long time, but we just couldn't find the right place, and we were invited to the Wicklow Escape in May, and as soon as I arrived I knew this was the one. The food is exceptional. It is embedded in nature, and the entire experience was out of this world. So we're going to do forest bathing, a cooking with love class, morning movement and breathing, group circles with myself and an absolutely amazing facilitator. There's a hot tub and fire pit. We're going to have Good Glow welcome packs. It's just going to be gorgeous, and I'm so excited to bring a small group together for the weekend. So if you would like to join us, you can find a link in this episode's show notes with all the details, or else you can send me a DM on Instagram and I will send you the link there. So let's get into Courtney. Let me know what you think. Courtney, welcome to the Good Glow. Thank you so much for taking the time out today. And we've had already a little bit of a miracle morning together, haven't we?
We have. We had the most special morning. I enjoyed it so much. And it's just set me up for the day now.
Yeah. So at 6 o'clock this morning, I drove out to you. And the reason I did that is because last week we were speaking about sea swimming and you asked me if I put my head under and I said no. And you were like, you have to do it. Yeah. It's so transformative. So I drove out this morning and I was so scared,
But I faced the fear, put my head under, and thank you for bringing me on that journey and opening the door for me now, because I'll do that forever. But tell us about your experience with sea swimming and that world.
Yeah, it is. You used the exact word there, transformative. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it really. Like, I've been sea swimming for about 4 years now. Even though I grew up in the area, I never, ever went sea swimming. And then when we bought our home, like within the first week, Mark was like, oh my God, look at that sky. Let's go over for a swim. And like, we were like rushing around trying to find our swimming togs. And we had the most gorgeous sea swim with this pink sky. And we've been going ever since. And yeah, like putting your head under the water, for me, it's not the same if you don't, because it's almost like a rebirth is the best way that I can describe it. I know that sounds probably extreme, but it's like, it just sets you up for the day. It's like those couple of seconds, the first couple of seconds when you first put your head underneath, and there's this like quiet calmness, and then you just come up for air, and it's transformative. That was the best word for it. And if I go in the morning, I will always have a good day after going for a sea swim and putting my head under the water, and it just feels amazing.
And when you say there, like, it's like a rebirth, that is so powerful to me. And like, when you say like your day is different after doing something like that in the morning, can you feel within, do you feel different as you go on with your day?
Yeah, like mentally and physically, like it genuinely does. It's like, it puts vibrations through my body. Like, it starts a whole new energy for me. And like, I notice the difference, especially with, you know, I have a 3 month old. So especially now, I don't always have the opportunity to go over in the morning. So I take it when I can. Like, I might only get over a couple of times a week, and it might be at any time of the day. But when I do that, if I've had a bad day, if I've had a tough day, if I've had a bad night's sleep, as soon as I get into the water and I put my head under the water, it just re-energizes everything for me. And it's like you're starting with a blank slate as soon as you come out of the water.
Mm. And I've been watching you over the last year or so, kind of a little bit more closely. I feel like you connect with joy. Have you been making more of an effort to live that way?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know that, I think it's like a trend on TikTok or Reels or whatever, and it's like, romanticize your life. And it's one of these kind of things, and people are putting up all these pictures of Bali and different things. I genuinely try and do that. I try and romanticize my own life, because life is not perfect for anybody. And I try and find something joyous or something that I'm thankful for every day, because it makes my day better, especially when they're hard days. So it can just be one thing. It could be a sea swim. It could be, I don't know, sitting down having a cup of cacao. It can be anything. It can be something really small and really simple. But on the bad days, that's when it's even more important to kind of, and I feel like it's almost the opposite of what people are talking about. Like, you know, the way people say that people are curating their Instagram feed and they don't show the realness. But like, sometimes it's actually nice to have those perfect moments captured, because they're the moments that we want to remember. And they're the moments that you want to look back and cherish. You don't necessarily want to look back and remember all the hard times and the bad times. So I almost think of my Instagram as like a little photo book, a memory book. And you know, you're remembering the precious moments and the perfect times. And I know, you know, there's a flip side of that. It is nice to see realness on Instagram, and it is nice to, like, you know, not sugarcoat everything. But for me personally, I also just really like living in the moment and capturing those really, really good times. Like, but like, not just for Instagram, for real life as well, you know?
And I think that's really interesting what you said there, because I've never even heard of anyone saying, you know, romanticizing my life. And it reminded me of Oprah's book, What I Know For Sure, when she gives things ratings of stars. So she'll like make herself like a gorgeous coffee in the afternoon, and she'll be like, 5 stars.
Yes.
And then she'd be like, you know, sitting out having my dinner under the stars, 5 stars, you know, a knock on the door for a friend. And she kind of rates all of these magic moments in her day. And I have to say, when I was driving out this morning at 5:30, I was like, dreading the coldness of the water, really scared about putting my head under. You know, you're questioning, why am I doing this? I'm really tired. You know, all of these, your to-do list is running through your head.
Yeah.
And then when you're driving home from doing something like that, it was like I could see things through a different lens, and I was proud of myself, and I had this warm feeling. And that's like Oprah says, like 5 stars. It was 5 stars driving home, and it was 3 stars driving out.
Yeah.
So I think it's really nice to connect with the moments or acknowledge the moments in your day, even if that's a cup of tea at 3 o'clock. This is my perfect moment of the day.
Literally. And it can be the smallest thing, and it doesn't have to be consistently throughout the day. But that's, you were saying that you feel like I try and find the joy in life, and I really do. And I'm like, you know, like I said, life isn't perfect. There's really hard days, but if you can find those couple of moments for yourself, those couple of moments with your family, whatever it is, yeah. And sometimes for me, that's work. Like, it doesn't necessarily always have to be, you know, a cup of cacao or, you know, an outdoor shower moment or whatever. It doesn't have to be something like that. Sometimes for me, it's, you know, I did my first job since having Bodie this week. And it was just lovely to be on stage talking about fashion, talking about things that I'm really passionate about. So yeah, little moments in the day that you can steal and just kind of bank them as your 5 stars, as you were saying.
And I was so lucky to meet your family this morning, and people, like, I don't even know if I should say this because it sounds weird, but like, you know, having a shower in your garden, because you so kindly didn't want me to go home freezing because I was shaking. And you were like, just jump into our outdoor shower. And I feel like the impression I got from going to your home was, you know, everyone's welcome, that your home is like your haven. You know, you had this gorgeous like outdoor cooking area, the outdoor shower. Like, tell us about what sort of life that you have created for yourself, and what sort of support Mark gives you.
Oh, well, like, I mean, I don't even know where to start with that. I feel like our home is, it is like an extension of us. We really wanted somewhere that we would just love being. And funnily enough, we actually renovated before COVID happened, but it wasn't finished. And it was only throughout being here so much throughout lockdown, we were like, okay, well, we really love the garden. We really love, you know, being in this space. So let's try and build a bit of an outdoor area where it's a bit of a living space. So it's like indoors, outdoors. We have the outdoor shower, which sounds so bougie in Ireland, like, because it's not, you know, it's probably, people would think, not the most practical thing, but honestly, we use it every day. Like, I prefer having a shower outdoors. That's one of my 5-star moments. If I can get an outdoor shower, that is, I'm going to keep using that 5-star thing. I love it. I haven't read Oprah's book, but I absolutely love that. But yeah, those little moments for me. And yeah, we do have a beautiful home. It's part of the romanticizing of my life that I was talking about. Like, I love being here. I love having my family here. I love having people over for dinner. We love cooking, having barbecues. Like, it is our little safe haven. And yeah, it's part of what makes me so happy is being here.
Yeah. And you have been so open about Darren, and we have been speaking about him, I feel like, for the last 2 weeks together. And thank you so much for just letting me in and letting us all in today, because you continue, just for anyone who doesn't know, your best friend passed away last year, Darren.
Yeah.
And you continue to shine his light, I feel like, through talking about him and sharing videos and stories. But you tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah. So Before we start, there's a strong possibility I will cry. And I've come to accept that, and that it's actually a good thing. Because, you know, remembering him, obviously it's very painful, but there's so many amazing memories that when I think about him, I love talking about him. Like, I love talking about him because I love telling people who didn't know him how amazing he was, and spreading, yeah, spreading his story. Like, he was, like, first of all, he was incredibly recognized within the hair industry globally, not just in Ireland. He won huge awards around the world, and he did fashion weeks, and so he was really well known within the industry. So I think when he passed away, there was a huge ripple effect. And people would have seen it on Instagram and in magazines and in the media because it was reported on. But really what he was the most incredible friend, and just the most, like, most beautiful human. Like, if you hadn't met him, he had this like glimmer in his eye, this like spark. When he walked into a room, like, people just gravitated towards him. And it was so incredible to watch because there's not that many people like that. And I know everybody has best friends and they love them. And I do. And I know I'm talking about one of mine, but he was just so special. Like, people fell in love with him. Strangers fell in love with him. And he had this insane energy. Like, he had the dirtiest laugh and the filthiest mouth, but he had just this pure heart. And, like, he used to park on the north side of the city and walk across the Halfpenny Bridge every day to work. And every day he would stop and talk to this homeless man and bring him a coffee or give him a fiver or whatever it was, just because he was the kindest person. And I just don't know many people that were like him, and I just feel so genuinely lucky to have had him in my life, and to have been loved by him, and to obviously love him in return. And it just, he passed away in November suddenly, and I was 5 and a half, almost 6 months pregnant at the time. And I just feel, if anyone has simultaneously had to grieve while growing a human, so you're like, I was just sad all the time, but I was equally happy at the same. It was the weirdest turmoil of emotions inside me, because I was hormonal and I was so excited about my baby girl that was coming, but I was just so sad. Like, I was just, you know, we spent so much time together. There was a phase of our friendship and our relationship for about at least 3 years, if not more, where I would phone him at 5 o'clock in the morning because he didn't trust his alarm. And we would, you know, call each other in the car on the way into town, and we would meet and we'd go to a CrossFit class or we'd go to a boxing class, and we'd be partners for that hour, boxing or CrossFitting or whatever we were doing. And then we'd go and I'd get ready in his salon half the time, and we'd go have breakfast together. So before it was, then he'd come to my studio and he'd work on his computer and we'd have coffee, like, and then he'd go to the salon and he'd work at 10 o'clock. So for 5 hours in the morning, most days of the week, we had spent 5 hours with each other in the morning and in each other's company, talking to each other, like. And like, while obviously that hadn't happened since before COVID, like when COVID had actually hit, he moved in with us for the first part of lockdown. He was staying with us, and he was there when I found out I was pregnant with Sen. He used to say, "We're pregnant." So it was like the three of us were pregnant. And it was just, I feel so lucky to have had that time with him, but I feel robbed. I feel robbed because, like I had asked him, I was with him for dinner, myself and my boyfriend Mark and his partner Mark. They're both called Mark. It got very confusing sometimes, but we used to go for dinner together and we'd cook for each other, and we were with him, you know, just 3 days before he passed away, and I'd said to him, privately, I was like, you know, you're going to be godfather for this little girl that's coming. And I just feel like, yeah, I feel robbed. I feel like there's just all these occasions that he should be there. So like when Zen's first birthday came along, when Bodhi was born, and then I'm like thinking about the future and I'm like if we were to ever get married, I know he would have been there beside me all morning, making me laugh, doing my hair. So yeah, I just feel like we had the most beautiful relationship and he lived his life to the fullest. Like he really did. But I just feel like he had so much more to offer the world. And it has been a really, really tough, I don't even know how many months it is at this age, 8 months. And I feel like not only am I robbed, I feel like the world has been robbed of this beautiful energy and this gorgeous human.
But that's what I mean about you keeping that alive by sharing. I didn't know him, but through looking at the things that you share, like you said, you were so lucky to have loved him. Like you could see his love for you.
And he was not short friends. Like, I mean, like I said, anyone who met him fell in love with him and he had a lot of friends. So he left behind a lot of people that loved him. But I just feel so lucky to have been one of those close-knit people who was just constantly around him.
And how do you feel about people asking you about him? Like, because I think when someone loses someone, you don't know whether to bring it up or, and then you hear from people say, no, I want to talk about that person.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Like, sorry. And like I said, like sometimes, depends on what day you get me. Sometimes I'm bawling, if you ask me. And sometimes I'm laughing because I'm thinking of all the incredible times. Sometimes it's a bit of both. But I do, I love talking about him. I started grief counseling after he passed away. And it's like what I describe as my hour a week where I get to just talk about how amazing he is and remember how amazing he is. And I love when people ask about him.
And would you recommend that grief counselling? Was it hard to go?
Yeah, I'd never been to any sort of counselling before, so I didn't really know what to expect. I just knew that I didn't think I was dealing with it at the time very well, and I was also pregnant, and I didn't want, knowing what giving birth was like, I didn't want to go into giving birth and then dealing with like suppressed issues. So I felt like it'd be better that I was dealing with it in advance and talking about him. I found it really, really helpful personally. But one of the things I've actually found really helpful is that it kind of came around January, I suppose, I started voice noting Darren again. Because it was one of the things we did every day. We would voice note each other. And it's one of the things that I miss the most. And I know, sorry, but I know he's not going to reply to me, obviously. But it's like keeping that little bit of our relationship alive. So I will voice note him and I will tell him how my day went, or I will send him pictures of Bodhi or Zen, or I will send him outfit pictures. If I've done my hair and I think he'll like it, just silly things. But that's what we did. And I just kind of feel like putting it out there, I know he's getting the message somewhere.
Yeah. Have you ever asked for a sign or anything?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've never asked for a sign before. But it was actually before I started voice noting him. I was in a shopping center with Zen and I was walking around and I don't know, something triggered me and I just got really upset thinking about Darren. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to leave because I'm here bawling in the middle of a shopping center. And I'd actually parked in the underground car park, which I'd never parked in this particular car park before. And as I'm walking out and I'm crying and Zen's getting upset and I'm like, just get me to the car, get me to the car. And I was like, I'm going to ask for a sign. And it was actually somebody had Instagram DM'd me, like a follower, saying, you should ask for a sign. Like, because I'd been putting up pictures and videos of Darren, and someone had just messaged me saying, you should ask for a sign. And I'd never for anybody asked for a sign before. And I was walking out to the car park and I saw this car parked, you know, like when they're ads, like they're trying to sell the car or whatever it is. I don't actually know what they were trying to do. I just looked at it and it said, call Darren. Yeah, they were the words, call Darren. And I was like,
call Darren.
Yeah. I started crying even more, obviously, because I was like, that was my sign. I'd literally just been saying as I was walking out to the car park, I was like, Darren, I need a sign. I'm not okay. I need to know you're okay. And I saw that sign and I just was like, okay, I'm going to voice note him. I'm going to keep that line of communication on my side open so that I feel like, yeah, because I know people tell me like they talk to their loved ones all the time. They might just talk out loud. They might be walking down the beach talking. But for me, I voice note them because that's what we did during the day. Oh, or I'll send them WhatsApps. And I know I can't do that forever. I'm not oblivious to the fact that I can't be doing that in 10 years' time. But at the moment, it really works for me. It really works as my little bit of connection with him.
By you asking for the sign and getting the sign to call Darren, it's almost like he knew that that would make you feel better.
Yeah.
You know, and like even when we were on, you know, having that swim this morning and like, you know, there were so many clouds in the sky.
Yes.
Really far in the distance, there was this little crack and there was just a ray of sunshine coming through. And it just felt like, number one, that you are always protected, Courtney, like he's always with you. But also, sometimes it just takes one little crack of light to show you that, you know, there's hope in life.
Yeah.
That there is a way.
Yeah.
And I think for so many people listening now might consider asking for a sign. And I think by you asking that sign, it's transformed kind of the last few months, and you having the ability now to send him voice memos. And even though he's not here, you know, you're still chatting.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because they're not like, when I started voice noting him, they were probably sobs of, why aren't you here? And I miss you. And, you know, that longing. And I still have that longing, but now I'm sending him voice notes and I'm laughing and I'm, you know, not always, but there's, you know, there's a lot of laughter because that's what we shared, a lot of laughter together. And, you know, I might see something that reminds me of him or whatever, or a funny story to tell him. And it is a little bit like he's still here. And I mean that in like, I mean that in a good way. Like, I know he's not here, and I am moving forward. I don't want to say I'm moving on, but I'm moving forward with life, and with my life. But it's nice to be able to share that with him and think that he's listening, or know that he's listening, because I know that he is. And yeah, so that's where I'm at.
I think like when, you know, the way you said like at the start, the voice memos where you like sobbing and heartbreak, and then it's kind of moved to chatting about your day. I think if you don't vocalize feelings sometimes and you suppress them and you just keep pushing them down and down and down, they will live within you forever. But if you almost say it out loud, you give yourself permission to kind of move through it or move forward. So thanks so much for sharing that about Darren. He's so special, and you are keeping his light shining.
Thanks so much.
I wanted to talk to you about your amazing career. And I was reading, first of all, I love Closet Confidential. I think it's such a good name. I love seeing you in action. I think you bring out the best of people. You've such an incredible way with words and way with fashion, and it really paints a picture. But tell us about London, and there was kind of a crossroads for you, wasn't there, at one point over there?
I'll get right back to Courtney, but first I wanted to thank L'Oreal Professional for supporting the Good Glow this season. They believe in the powerful combination of using advanced research and professional expertise to give you the hair you've always wanted. Their most innovative products are used and approved by some of the greatest names in hairdressing, allowing them to be at the head of both trends and technology. And the Steampod 3.0 just got better, with up to 91% less damage. It's up to 2 times faster and up to 2 times smoother styling. So this summer, what's it going to be? The blow dry effect or Hollywood waves? You can shop at all L'Oreal Professional partner salons, including petermark.ie.
I always thought for me to be successful, I had to be living in London or New York, and I had to be doing, you know, covers of Vogue. And that was the pinnacle of success within my field. And I think for me now, I've redefined what success is for me, not to me, but for me, because success for me is just being happy and doing something that I love, genuinely love every day. And I do genuinely love my job and my career and all the kind of different, it's because it is quite multifaceted. Like I do, while it's fashion, I have dipped my toes into lots of different areas. Like I did a shoe collaboration with Buffalo, and I've done an edit with H&M called Courtney Kovitz years ago. Like it must be 8 years ago now. So, you know, I tipped into designing and edits, and I was a fashion writer for the Metro Herald, which isn't even around anymore. And I covered London Fashion Week for them. And, you know, I did expose in Ireland AM. And then on top of that, I was doing campaigns for Brian Thomas around the world. And, you know, I've had a very varied career in fashion, but I still always thought at one stage that, you know, if I didn't break London, I didn't make it. Mm. And I did get an agency in London. I'm trying to think, it must be 9 years ago. I had an agent in London, and I was like, right, I'm going to try and make it in London now, because I kind of felt like I'd done loads in Ireland and the next step for me was this. And I moved over for like a couple of months, just because I felt like I needed to be there if I was going to try and make it. And I remember my agency at one point saying, now I was getting a few jobs at the time, actually, first. So I'd been recording an online show called Style Nation, which was like a YouTube show, and it was quite well known at the time. And that was quite cool. And I remember I got a job hosting the Lipsy red carpet for the Kardashian collection, and Khloe Kardashian was there, and I was like chatting to her on the red carpet. And at the time it was being live streamed around the world, which was really quite big career opportunity for me. And I was like, this is it, this is the start of my London career. And that was it really, like I was still trying to make things happen. And I remember my agency saying, right, we're going to like set you up on like a kind of date with this rugby player. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, it's just kind of what we do. Like, you know, it's really good to kind of up your profile. And if we up your profile, then more people will want to hire you, or they'll want to know about you. And, you know, it's just a really good way to just do a little bit of PR. And I was like, I was just really uncomfortable with it. And I said no. I was like, do you know what? I feel like I have talent, and I really want it to be my talent that gets me there. Mm. And I don't want to look back in years to come and be like, oh, it's because I was spotted out, papped, whatever, with some semi-famous guy. And it just left a really bitter taste in my mouth. And sorry, that's not to say that that's how everybody makes it there, but it was at the time how it was kind of portrayed to me.
Yes, yes.
As maybe the quickest way or the easiest way or the way.
Yeah.
And I just remember coming back really disheartened and really like, if that's what it takes, that's not what I want. And I remember thinking, right, I'm going to do it on my own. Might not be London, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to focus on all the amazing career opportunities I have here. And I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to grow that. And it was after that I had the Buffalo Collection. And it was after that I was doing all these amazing things in Ireland. And I think people can often think of Ireland as this tiny little place that, you know, you're limited. You're not limited. Like, the world is still my oyster. I can be based here. Like we were talking about how my home is my haven, and it really is. And I still feel like I can make waves around the world because, you know, we have the internet. I don't have to be in New York. I don't have to be in London. But I love what I do and I love what I'm doing here. And I feel like, you mentioned Closet Confidential at the beginning there. That's something that grew during lockdown because I wasn't out on shoots, but I wanted to kind of spread my love of fashion. And I started this little Insta Live series on my Instagram, and it just grew a little community, and people seem to love tuning in and just listening to people talk about fashion. And I'm kind of putting a lot of focus on that at the moment because I do feel like, while I love doing all my photo shoots and I love creative directing for clients, I also miss those chats. I really do. And that's why I was like so excited to come on and chat to you. I miss those chats. And I feel like I'm going to try and grow that now. I'm going to try and grow that community, whether it's a YouTube channel or a podcast. I haven't really figured out the what yet, but I'm excited to do that. And I'm excited to grow Closet Confidential and grow that community and grow that side of my career, because I did expose, I did all the shows and I loved doing it. And then I kind of stopped doing them for a while because I felt like it was taking up so much of my time, and I loved being creative. And I did actually during lockdown, not to keep referring to COVID, but during lockdown, I revisited The Artist's Way, which is it's a journal. It's a morning journal, and it's meant to be this to light that creative spark under you. If you're creative in any way and you feel like you've lost that. And I did it. Because it takes a lot of time. Like, it's, you know, you're basically writing a journal every single morning, and you're writing until you can't write anymore. Essentially, you're getting rid of everything so that you have all of that creativity left to shine.
Just for anyone there, it's called Morning Pages, because people may be more familiar with Morning Pages than The Artist's Way. So, Courtney, what are you writing down?
Anything and everything. So literally anything that comes into your, it can be what you dreamed. It can be just what comes into your head. You're almost like spitting out all of your thoughts.
Okay.
Because it's the best. Well, the idea behind it is that once you've kind of put all that out there, all that's left is that like creative energy. And I did it like 7 years ago, and I loved it. And I revisited it again then, you know, 2 years ago. And that it was after doing that I was like, oh, I'm going to do this little Insta Live, and I'm going to, you know, and that was kind of like my creative spark for that.
Yeah. And thank you for explaining that to me, because we did it on Soul Sisters, or we tried to do it, myself and Claire, for about like a week, and I just kept forgetting. But I think that the way you explained it, that it's like clearing the path to allow the whispers in. And I think for so many of us, we're busying ourselves all the time because we don't want to let the whispers in. So I find, like, even this morning driving out to you, I didn't turn on the radio for a half an hour. Like, I just sat there with my thoughts, like, you know, and that's scary to me sometimes. But when you let your mind have space and energy, the greatest ideas can come from a bit of bloody silence or some unloading to make space for the whispers to come in. And there you created Closet Confidential. And I think that this is when you were talking about that, like it came from lockdown. I think lockdown gave people time and space to connect with what their purpose, what they wanted their purpose to be, or yeah. discover their purpose. So you kind of getting down, like clearing out all the busyness, allowed you to create this really special brand, you know, this really special thing that you're going to grow and grow and grow. And I just know that you are, because yeah. it's so you.
Yeah. And you know what? I thank you so much for saying that, because I think when you're passionate about something, like really genuinely passionate about something, it oozes out of you. Like it does. It, yeah. it literally comes out of your pores. And I love fashion. Like I really do. Like I've always loved it since I was a little girl. And it's something that I've always wanted to do. I never knew exactly what area. Like I studied fashion design initially, but I always knew I'd be in fashion. And I love sharing people's stories about fashion. I love the stories behind clothes, the stories about people's relationship with clothes. You know, sometimes it could be something that was passed down to them. I have this beautiful Louis Vuitton bag. It's behind me actually. That was my granddad's bag.
No way.
And he was a coach for the Irish Olympic sailing team, and that was one of the bags. Louis Vuitton were sponsoring some sort of event, and they all got given these bags, and it has his name written in biro on the inside, and I just love it. And I feel like, you know, Classic Confidential for me is going to be a way to tell those stories.
Yeah. And I think that you, like I was saying, like you're an artist, you know, you paint a picture, and you're also telling a story through clothes, which I think is fab. And God, I could talk to you all day, Courtney, but let's go back to like the your core, your heart and soul, which is your family and Mark. And we move swiftly on from talking about Mark earlier. And I know that you're quite private, but like, what can you tell us about him?
Oh, he is my absolute rock, and especially over the last number of months, because obviously he knew Darren. Darren lived with both of us, so it was as much a loss for him. But he has been just the most incredible support system. He's always been an incredible support system for me, actually. Like when we first got together, he used to get up at the crack of dawn, and I was like, what are you doing? And he was the reason that I started getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I joined the five o'clock club because he was telling me, you know, it's the best time of the day to get, not to get one up on everybody else, but to feel like that you have started the day earlier than everybody else, and that you've got more work done, or you've, you know, you've seen sunrise, or you've started the day with a workout before most people have even put on their coffee. And that was the reason that I started getting up early, was because of Mark. And he's just, you know, we're that kind of couple that we sit down and we have our dinner and we chat every night. So we talk, we don't eat our food in front of the TV, because we like to hear about each other's days. And I love to bounce all my ideas off him. He's a great sounding board for me. I know Jamie's the same for you as well. And it's lovely to have, you know, a partner in crime like that. Like that's what I feel like. He's my partner in crime. He's my partner in life, but he's my partner in crime. I bounce everything off him. And he's, yeah, obviously the father of my children. And we made this beautiful home together. And it's just, I feel very lucky to have him in my life.
Yeah. And it's so, I like just being in both of your company this morning. It was so nice to meet him and see your home. And, you know,
he is very private. So he's very rarely, like, I don't talk about him very often. And he's very rarely on my Instagram. Every now and again, I try and get a little snap of him, and he's getting a little bit better with it. But he is an incredibly private person, so he'll probably listen to this and be like, oh, why did you talk about me?
Yeah, but he's definitely a catch, I must say.
Thanks.
Thank you for sharing a little snippet of your life today, and for, I think, you know, for helping me dip my head, because
yes,
that's going to be something now that I will do forever. And sometimes, like, you know, the way you say, like, you know, Mark is a great support and Jamie's a great support, but it's also nice to get those little nudges from friends or meet up with someone and do something scary together and help each other along the way, because I think that's what life is all about.
Oh, definitely. And I'm so happy I was there with you today, Georgie. Like, seeing your face when you came out of the water was the best thing ever. I have it on video. I love it. It was so good. I'm so happy I was there. And I'm so happy that we got to experience that together.
Yeah, I wasn't as gracious as you. You looked like a mermaid. I was more like a seal or something, a drowning seal. But I'm so glad. Thank you for supporting me at that moment and just bringing me on that little journey this morning. I absolutely loved it.
It was so good. I loved it too. Thanks so much for coming out and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and let's keep in touch and let's go for another swim. And,
oh, please.
Thanks for sharing everything with us today. You're so special, Courtney.
Thanks, Georgie.
This season, I have so many podcasts like this. So if you enjoyed it, please make sure to subscribe and each and every episode will land in your library and you'll get a lovely notification to tell you when it goes live. If you are interested in joining us for the Good Glow Retreat, you can find a link with more details about the food and accommodation. It's all in the episode show notes. Thanks for listening and I'll see you next week.